Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
There's a new invasive pest in the neighborhood, the marmorated stink bug. Let's go in depth with Ted Burke, professor of biology at Creighton University.
Professor Burke, what do you do at Creighton University?
Well, I'm a professor in the biology department, so mainly what I do is teach undergraduates. But I also do research on prairie butterflies. But I'm kind of also a kind of a, an all-around entomologist, one of the classes that I teach is an entomology class.
Do you get a lot of students interested in entomology?
You know, surprisingly so. Most of our students are pre-meds or other pre-health sciences students, but a lot of them have a genuine interest in all parts of biology, and insects are certainly not directly related to medicine, although there are some medical aspects. But they find it kind of a little bit of a different offbeat kind of course, and we do a lot of work in the field, so they get to go on a lot of field trips and things like that. So more interest than you might think.
Well, that's great. Well, studying entomology is a really important topic because of insects in our lives, their role in nature. It's just really significant.
Absolutely. I mean, there's you know, been a lot of talk in the last few years of what's been sometimes called the insect apocalypse. A lot of insect species are declining, and some of them are very important, like pollinators, bees and butterflies and things like that. A lot of them also are natural enemies, predators and parasites of other insects. On the other hand, like with the stink bugs, there are other species that we're getting way too many of. So one way or the other, insects have been in the news a lot lately.
Well, yeah, we're talking today to talk about the brown marmorated stink bug. Am I pronouncing that right?
That sounds right. I never heard the word marmorated until this bug came around. Apparently it means something like mottled or marbled or spotted. But that was a new one for me.
Can you describe the brown marmorated stink bug for us?
Yeah, absolutely. They're about a half an inch long. They are kind of a general brown color with some spotting and streaking and so forth. They have a series of kind of white stripes along the edge of their abdomen. And the antennae is kind of odd. The antennae kind of alternates between darker areas and lighter areas, so they're fairly distinctive. They're a member of the family of insects called stink bugs. There are actually thousands of species of stink bugs around the world. And they all have a kind of a five-sided shield shape. Pentatomidae is actually the technical name for them. So kind of a half-inch long, brown, kind of five-sided shield shape. The last year or two, though, that's something that if it's in your house and flying around and being a nuisance, that's probably what it is.
I guess to me they look like a giant tick.
Well, I mean, I suppose you could say that about most insects. They're kind of, you know, big and brown and creepy crawly, but, you know, technically they're quite a different kind of animal from a tick. A tick is actually closer to a spider than it would be to an insect, but I suppose in kind of a brown, creepy crawly thing, they kind of have something of the same look.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the marmorated stink bug with Ted Burke, professor of biology at Creighton University.
Holly, the young woman that answers the phone and works at our traffic desk, I mentioned that I was going to be talking with you. And she asked, what about? And I said, the brown marmorated stink bug. And she told me that she's seen a lot of them lately, and she's not happy about it.
No one really is. This got into the news here in Omaha because this is the first year here in eastern Nebraska that we've had really, really large numbers of them coming in, and almost everybody has got them in their houses this winter. Now, I talked to some people in Iowa. I talked to somebody a few days ago from Rapid City that said that they actually had them not just this year, but last year. It's an invasive species. It's native to China. And they got into the U.S. about 20 years ago on the East Coast. Pennsylvania was where they were first found. They've been a serious problem, a serious pest in the eastern part of the country ever since. But they've been spreading across the country now. So apparently they made it to eastern Iowa last year, and they've made it farther west this year. But the numbers are enormous. Almost everybody I've talked to, I would say 90% or more of the people I've talked to here in Omaha, have had them in their house this year, sometimes very large numbers of them. So it's really an outbreak that people have really begun to notice for the first time.
Well, and I was reading that there was a woman, this is an article in the New Yorker, of a woman that had 26,000 of them.
Yeah, yeah. No, hopefully we don't get to that point, but there's certainly people here. I've heard from people in Iowa, I've heard from people in Nebraska that have had hundreds. Hopefully we don't get to the thousands. And with a lot of these invasive species, sometimes for a couple years they're really bad, and then they just kind of settle in and become part of the normal collection of species that we have. So we're kind of hoping for that. We're hoping that the way it's been bad the last year or two in Iowa and Nebraska is, the worst-case scenario, as opposed to it's going to get even worse. So we hopefully don't get to the point that it is in places like Maryland and Pennsylvania.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people that are listening are wanting to know how we get rid of them.
Well, the thing is that they really don't do a whole lot of harm. In general, they are mainly just a nuisance. They really come into our houses just to find a nice warm place to spend the winter. They don't bite. If you handle them or touch them, they do secrete a defensive fluid, which smells bad and can actually be a little bit caustic. I had a colleague here at Creighton that was sleeping, and one of them was crawling on his eyelid, and kind of instinctively he swatted it, and it squirted him pretty good. And he actually got a little bit of a blister and some peeling of the skin. So, but in general, they're just a nuisance flying around. So the best thing to do is just gather them up somehow, and, you know, if you vacuum them, be sure to empty your vacuum bag or you'll have a smelly, dirty mess in there. Throw them outside, throw them in some soapy water. One technique I haven't tried, but I've heard described, is to, when they do come out, when it's warmer and they're flying around inside your house, put out a something like a roasting pan, aluminum pan of soapy water, and shine a light on it, and they'll be attracted to the light and the water, and they'll drown themselves in the soapy water. But in general, anything you might try to do chemically is probably an overreaction, and probably not that effective anyway. As we all know, they're very good at hiding in cracks and crevices where it's really hard to get at them unless they do come out.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the marmorated stink bug with Ted Burke, professor of biology at Creighton University.
What do they eat?
Well, this is one of the problems. I mean, in the winter in our houses, they're just overwintering to then, go back outside in the spring. Now, in our case, they probably are not nearly as good at getting out as they are getting in. But in nature, they'd be hiding out in leaf litter and under tree bark and places like that. So in our houses, they're not really feeding on anything all winter. They're just in a kind of a state of hibernation. But outside, they actually are very serious agricultural pests because they're quite a generalist. The bugs in general have what I call piercing, sucking mouthparts, and most of them suck plant juices. And one of the problems with the brown marmorated stink bugs is they're very generalist. They'll attack hundreds of different species of fruits and crops, so soybeans, corn, any kind of fruit. They will pierce and suck the juices, and that causes spotting and streaking and shriveling of the tissue. And back where they come from in Asia, they're actually vectors for some plant diseases. You can imagine from the numbers that we have in our houses, how many there must have been out in crops and orchards and things last year. So they are really quite a serious agricultural pest. Back east, they've caused tens of millions of dollars of damage already. So again, hopefully, they're not going to build up, any greater in numbers, because they actually would be a serious pest to agriculture in our part of the world.
Well, and I was reading too that they're mainly attack vegetables and fruit, but then I dug a little deeper and saw in Asia they'll also go after soybeans. That could be a disaster.
Well, yeah, I've heard actually in some of the research I've done, I've seen that they attack soybeans, both the actual developing beans as well as the leaves, but also corn. They'll even kind of pierce through, pierce and suck the juices from the kernels, the developing kernels inside the ears. So, they could be bad news.
And do they have natural predators here? I hope we don't.
That's one of the problems. One of the reasons that these alien invasive species do so well, where they come from, usually they have a series of predators and parasites, and that keeps their populations down. They're just part of the background community. But when they get into a new country, they often get in without any of their natural enemies, and so they just explode in numbers. So there are some parasites, some wasps and things that people are trying to bring in to control them, but that sometimes can have problems of their own. Sometimes you bring in one of these things to control a pest, they then take on some of the native species as well. So there are some efforts to bring in some of the natural enemies from China, but at the moment the numbers are just so enormous that it will take quite a while probably for that to have any effect if it ever does.
Is there another species or suite of species that occupy the same niche that they might be out competing?
Well, we have a lot of native stink bugs, and most stink bugs, as I say, pierce and suck the juices of plants. And so they're doing this to native species out in the wild. Most of them aren't considered to be serious pests, although in some parts of the country, for example, in the south, some of our natives have become pests. We have actually other stink bugs that are predators that pierce and suck the juices of other insects. So not even all stink bugs are bad. But the thing is, again, invasive species often have advantages over natives. Again, one big advantage, as we just talked about, is that they don't have that suite of natural enemies that controls them. And so often when you get an invasive species like that, I haven't heard anything about the stink bug in that regard. But we've had a whole host of alien species coming in from China in the last 20 years or so, just reflecting the increase in worldwide commerce that's coming from China. And one great example, you guys probably remember a few years ago, how many ladybugs we had coming into our houses. And those are another alien species from China. That's the Asian multicolored ladybug. And they have done so well that they actually have wiped out some of our native ladybug species. They both outcompete them for food and actually eat them directly. So those ladybugs that we've had so many of lately are a good example of how the alien species can really devastate some of our natives.
Wow. Well, is there anything that I wouldn't know enough to ask that's particularly fascinating about these insects that you haven't touched on?
Well, not so much, really. I think we've touched on most things. I mean, they are an interesting, I suppose, indicator of worldwide commerce and trade. Sometimes ecologists talk about something called biohomogenization. We're getting the same species now worldwide everywhere. It used to be, of course, that every area of the world had its own set of unique species, but now we're all getting the same kind of pests everywhere, so this is a great example of that. It really shows, again, how it's really hard to keep invasive species out, how much worldwide commerce and trade has promoted the spread of these things. So that's really kind of, I think, the main take-home message. I think we can probably expect more of these kinds of things in the future. One of the things we haven't got yet, but we probably will be getting soon back in the east, there's a thing called the spotted lanternfly, which has become a serious agricultural pest, and it just got in a few years ago, and it's been spreading like crazy. So we've had a few, and there's probably more on the way, and it's just kind of part of the connected world that we live in.
Thanks to Ted Burke for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.